Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right, I'm excited to be here. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to share with you guys. Amen. I haven't preached in a while. It feels like this mic is cutting in and out too, so maybe I should get Dad's mic. Check. All right. On me, huh? Okay, sure. But anyway, let's go ahead and pray and get started. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for the opportunity to share your word tonight. Dear God, I pray to God that your word would impact, would change, would build, deliver, and give us clear insight in who you've called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say amen and amen. And I'm just going to say this, as I was preparing for this message, you know, God is a God that sometimes he gives you messages, and sometimes you just got to tarry and say, God, what are you trying to say? But usually he's already spoke some things to you. I was reading this book, and it was talking about Hearing God by Ben Dixon. He's actually a pastor out here. Actually, he just moved to Federal Way. One of the things that the book was saying is many times we always think God is going to speak in a still, quiet voice. Why? Because we saw that in, in the story of Elijah, right? Elijah heard God. It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in all these loud noises. It was a still, small voice. But one of the things that he said was that many times we hear God, it's not always a small voice. How many have heard God shout at you before? Right? Where it's like, you definitely need to listen. And sometimes we miss hearing what God is saying because we're always like, okay, God, I'm going to just sit still and be quiet. But God is always speaking. That's what I remember Pastor Gail said. God is always speaking, but are we listening? Amen. And this mic is doing it too. So I don't know what's going on. But anyway. Today we're going to talk about, you guys heard me talk about goals a couple weeks ago. You heard me talk about many different things. I said, you can get bitter or better. You guys remember that sermon? There's many things that happen into your life, and you can either get excited about it and understand that the Bible says all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose, right? Or you can get bitter and be like, God, why me? Why is this happening? Amen. But all of that ties into vision. Somebody say vision. Now, vision is really what you see, but also vision will allow you to see beyond what you can actually see. Amen. Now, I went to Florida, and in the place that I was in, it wasn't like a wealthy place. Some of the stuff that some of the locations we were, it was very poor. Like the place where the community center was, If it rains and floods, that place always gets flooded. So you see houses that are like gutted just because of their hurricane season. They have a hurricane season all the time. So it was just like, wow. Like, you know, to me, I'm still like, I couldn't live anywhere where there's a hurricane season. Like hurricanes just happen like we have rain seasons. You know what I mean? To me, that's crazy. But you see that and it's like, wow. Okay, what is the vision for these people? You know what I mean? Sometimes you get around, you feel stuck in an area, and it's because really it's your vision. Now, how many of you know that a lot of times our vision could kind of relate to the people that we are around, right? That's why when you're in schools in different districts, those schools seem to have they have better grades, they have better understanding of why they're there, because their vision is a little bit clearer. Amen? And this might not always be a spiritual vision. sometimes their families have visions for them. So they're saying, hey, you go do this. I drop off a kid at from my kid's school. And when I was talking to the first kid that I used to drop off, one of the things he was telling me, they don't watch TV at all. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. You guys don't watch TV? Like, I mean, I couldn't imagine not turning the TV on for my kids, because I'd be like, here, turn the TV on. Go sit in there and watch it for a while. Just leave me alone. Watch that TV, right? But they don't watch TV. And they can have kids at 5 and 6 and 7 years old cook dinner for the whole family. And I was just like, wow, this is blowing my mind. But their vision was different. So they tell their kids when they're young, you are going to go to school to be a doctor. You are going to be a dentist. And I was like, hey, the kids don't got, you know, they don't have a choice in this. And they're like, they don't answer. But that's because they have a vision for their kids. This same family, it purchased 5 houses. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty awesome. But they have a vision. They came from another country. And they came and said, okay, we're going to do it this way. We're going to set things up. And many times you have to go from a different place to get a different vision, or you have to get a renewed vision. Amen. So one of the things that I want to say about your vision is, first of all, what is the overall vision for your life? Have you thought about that? Your vision is not just your goals. Your goals should help you get to your vision. But your vision is just like businesses. Anybody we all know businesses have slogans, right? Your slogan usually should define what your vision really is, right? So if you have somebody give me a slogan of a business. Does anybody know any slogans of any businesses? Nike, just do it. What do they want you to do? They want you to be good at whatever you're going to do with these shoes, right? So their overall vision is, just do it. All right. Anybody know any other business slogans? Yeah. Everywhere you go. Right. So they're promoting that this really is going to work everywhere. It don't matter where you are. Maybe you don't have the technology, but it still will work everywhere you go, right? McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's their slogan, right? Right. That's their slogan, because every time you go in there, they want you to feel like that, even though sometimes it doesn't work like that. But these slogans are to help you define their business. What is the slogan for your life? You have to create something and say, okay, this is what I want to do. My vision for my life is to glorify God with all I have. Everything that's inside of me, I want to glorify God with it. My business for Genuine Life is Christ displayed through lifestyle. Everything that we do is connected to that. Whether I'm rapping, whether I'm talking to kids, whether I'm driving somebody home, Christ has to be displayed in my lifestyle. But we have to get an overall vision in our life. And many times if we don't have a vision, we have to ask God, what's the vision that you have for me? Because really, vision is seeing beyond. Somebody say seeing beyond. Your vision is going to see beyond what is in your current circumstances. Okay? One person in the Bible that we're going to look at today is Abraham. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story of Abraham, because that's chapters and chapters in the Bible. But in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 6, can you pull that up for me, Lynn? Genesis 12, verse 1 through 6. This is the very beginning of the story of Abraham. Matter of fact, at this time, his name was Abram. Okay. One thing that I want us to catch is that God not only gave Abraham a vision, he also changed his name. And he had to take Abraham out of the place that he was already in so he could see the vision. Sometimes there is things, and this is just a side message right here. There's things around us that is keeping us from seeing the vision that God has for us. Have you ever had doubters in your circle? Well, you're never going to. You might have heard God say, well, let's look in the Bible. You got Joseph. God was giving them these dreams. Joseph was trying to explain to his family, hey, man, God is giving me these wonderful dreams. Da, 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 da. And they're like, man, you're stupid. Well, you think it too much. Your dream is too big, bro. You're going to for the rest of your life, you are going to be a shepherd like us. You're going to till this ground. But God gave Joseph a vision early. Sometimes you have to get around or out from around those that are with you. For Joseph's vision to work, he had to get sold as a slave. Go to a whole nother place, right? Many times our vision is going to require us to break away from some things. Amen. So let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 6. I might not stop at 6, but we'll see. It says, now the Lord had said to Abraham. All right. So your vision as Christians is going to come from God. Everybody say that. It's going to come from God. My vision is going to come from God. How do we get this? Now, we only see this story right here, and we just see now the Lord has said to Abraham. But what was Abraham doing? Was he praying? Was he walking? You know, was this the time that God shouted at him? Because I think this is a big moment in Abraham's life, right? I remember the last time that I had worked a job, I constantly prayed for an hour. While I was in my job, I used to drive a truck, and I would just pray that first hour. I would pray with one of my friends at some times, and the other times I would just pray by myself and worship God. And I was like, God, thank you for this job. I appreciate it, but this ain't me. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. God, what I really want to do is this. And I began to pray, and I was like, God, I'm just going to continue to ask you. And then one time, God told me something that was probably the loudest word I ever heard. He said, conquer your fears. And when I heard that, I immediately knew what that meant. My fear was providing for my family. You guys heard me say this before, right? As a husband, I want to make sure I provide for my family. So I was like, okay, conquer your fears. Whoa, heard that word. And it was so loud, I texted everybody in my phone, God, conquer your fears. I sent that to everybody. People was like, oh, I'm getting that tatted. I'm doing this. I'm doing it. I was like, okay, praise God. I didn't mean to go that far. But, hey, I understand that it was a word for you too. So I had to hear that word, and then God got me out of the place I was in. Abram is hearing a word from God. So I'm going to say that he was in a place where he can hear from God. That's part one. Get in a place where you can hear from God for a vision for your life. Get into a place where you can hear from God so he can give you a clear vision. So he says, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Stop there for a second. Now, if Abram did not leave, verse 2 won't work. So your vision is going to require faith. Tell your neighbor it's going to require faith. Come on, say it like you mean it. It's going to require faith. Your vision that God gives you is going to require faith. That means there's going to be a time, just like Peter had to walk out on water, you might have to walk out on something. I tell people, faith is not holding on to that rope. Faith is letting go of the rope and trusting that God's going to catch. There's a trampoline down there that's going to catch me, and I'll be right back up, right? That's what faith is. Faith is not, the only thing you're trusting on is that God's going to keep me, right? So there's going to be a place, you have to get to a place where you hear from God, right? But also there's going to have to be a place where your faith answers God. See, when God tells you something, he's going to require you to do something with it. You know, that's why I always say, hey, did you enjoy the message today? Cool. Raise your hand. All right. Now there's a requirement with that. So you get to a place where you hear from God, walk and answer God with your faith. So it says in verse 3, let's go ahead. I will I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed. This is his faith. Now, it did not even tell him where to go. It just told him to leave. Right? This is the part. This is another thing. Sometimes when God gives you a vision, he doesn't show you the whole thing. Right? There's a Facebook post that I saw one time, and it was a map. And in this map, it was a map of a race, okay? And this race, it just shows you, hey, here is the map. In the map, you got to get to this place. And it was a straight line for this map on paper. But when the guy was riding on this map, he realized there was hills, there was valleys, there was places where he had to get off, swim, you know, but it just had a straight line on the map. That's what it's like when God gives us a vision. It's there you go. But we don't always see that journey. The journey is the part where you got to really trust God. Amen. I look at Abram's story, and it, to me, it really, for what I did when I stepped out, it really inspired me, because he didn't even know where he was going, but he just went. And even along the way, there was different things that happened, but let's keep on reading. It says, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." Now, why does God throw 75 out there? I don't know. Maybe because some people at the age of 75, we're just going to use that as a fictitious number right now, okay? Some of us at that age where 75, we're like, oh, man, I'm almost done, right? You don't have a vision no more, right? Or some people, I know some people that say 30 is old. My sister-in-law, she always be like, she's 10 years younger than us. So she be like, "You guys old." And I'm like, "Nah, when you get to 30, that's when you recognize that everything I did when I was 20 was stupid." I bought cars. I didn't know what I was doing. I bought a house. I didn't understand that the bills were going to be with me forever. But at 30, you're understanding, okay, I'm in this groove. I understand. Any 30-year-olds, can you witness that with me? All right. All right, so what I'm saying is, in your 20s, it's kind of like, oh, this is new. When you go buy a car, you don't really care about how much it costs, because you're like, I want the car. It's so fresh. If I'm riding in that, they're going to love me. Then you're like, oh, man, this bill, good Lord, this bill is killing me. But what I am saying is, many times, we allow age to define our vision. And you can't let that happen with God. God is going to defy all laws of gravity. He's going to defy laws. He did that when he walked on water, right? He's going to defy laws of age, because even Abraham had a child at 100 years old. Even in the Bible, it says they were old. It says everything wasn't working like it was supposed to work. But God did something, because he wanted to show that his vision, if you still trust and believe despite your age, despite where you are, despite what happens, despite the neighborhood that you grew up in, if God has given you a vision, it will come to pass. So when I was out there in these schools, I got to travel to a couple of schools in Florida while I was down there. And I did the song "Go Get It," if you guys have the music, the "Go Get It" song. And that song, you know, that when you go to some of these schools, you really can't preach, but I can do my music, so it doesn't matter. But that song is really telling them, don't worry about where you are. Don't worry about your circumstances. Go get it. Right? And a lot of the songs, people don't realize this, I write them to my kids so that they can get that in their spirit. I write them to encourage my children. But I know that it's just not just my natural children, but it's people that God has allowed me to be able to influence. But we have to go get it. And many times we look at, and one of the classes that we were sitting in, they were talking about wealth, how to build wealth. They were talking about credit, right? They were talking about how much, you know, it was really a life skills class that was talking about money. How to understand money, how much does it cost to pay your bills a month, what is your parents actually paying, and they look at these numbers and they're like, whoa, I never even, my parents pay that much a month, and you crying about the shoes they didn't get you, right? But then he was also trying to teach them, we didn't get to it, but he wanted to teach them about generational wealth. That's when I set up things, and the Bible talks about this plenty of times. It says a good father doesn't only provide for his kids, but his children's children, right? So generational wealth is not just something that you hear in all these new books. God wants us to prepare not just for us, but for our grandkids, right? And it's very important that we catch this vision, because if we catch that vision, we are not so consumed with all the things that are around us right now. A couple pastors that I've been listening to lately have been talking about eternity. And if you are not prepared for eternity, right, if you're not preparing or understanding that eternity has way more value than this world that we live in right now, you're going to miss the point. So your vision for life, number one, your vision should be to be with God, right? So everything you do out of your vision should say, God, I want to please you. The end story is going to be either well done, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, worker of iniquity, right? And then it's hell, unfortunately. But so your overall vision should be wanted to please God. Amen. So let's go back to that. Was that verse 6 that we read? Okay, so let's go back to verse 4 for now. So Abraham departed, and the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Somebody say 75. 75. Say age ain't nothing but a number. Somebody got to get that in their spirit, man. Okay? Even you young people, right? I got a couple young people in here. I'm young, though. That's what I always say. Right, yeah, I'm young. We all young. Amen. Hallelujah. But when you are young, many times you're like, oh, I don't know enough. But see, God did not say that maturity comes from age. Maturity comes from him. God can make you wiser in your youth than somebody that went to school for all their days. So your prayer should be like, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom and understanding to apply the vision. Amen. Now, I will say this. When we are young, the Bible says when we are young, you are strong. That's when you want to start activating that vision. You want to start laying the groundwork. Everybody knows, or some people don't know, but anybody ever see the big skyscrapers that we have? The skyscrapers in New York, the skyscrapers. I like big buildings. I don't like places that just got buildings that are small. To me, that's like, man. Why? Because the small buildings didn't take as much work as a big building. They say that many times the big buildings, as high as they go up, they must go that far down. Why? Because it can't be off balance. So if you ever watch them build a big building, it seems like it takes forever for them to even get to the ground level. But the foundation must be built. What I'm saying is when you're young, start building that foundation for your vision. Amen. Let's go to verse 5 and verse 6. It says this. Abraham took his wife, Sarah, Then Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So that's where God was leading them, right? So they came to the land of Canaan, and verse 6 says, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Now, when I was reading it and I turned a few chapters, if you look at Genesis chapter, I believe it's 15. This is kind of when Abram starts having questions. It's like in the middle of his journey. Somebody say the middle of his journey. And I just want us to go 15 verse 1. And the reason why Abraham has this dilemma is because the vision that God gave him, it's hard for him to see it. Okay? He's not seeing it because really one of the main parts of the vision that Abraham was is that his children's children will be blessed. You guys heard me say that, right? But Abraham doesn't have any kids. So he's going on this thing for years. And, you know, we just flipped a few chapters. But just imagine God gave you a vision. And I've seen this happen in my own life. You go on for years and it's not working the way. And you're like, God, what's the problem? And, you know, if God doesn't have a problem, okay, God, so what's my problem? I remember I was upset with God one time. Has anybody ever been there before? Okay, I'm the only one. Obed raised his hand. I was upset with God. And I said, God, I don't want to talk to you. Okay, I don't want to spend no time in prayer. And I would be driving. You know, I would pray, Lord, protect me, but that's it. All right, turn my music on. And I was like, God was shouting at me at this moment. And I was driving to work. And he said, the reason why you're in that same place is because you haven't learned what it takes to get out of that place. And not a physical learning. It's a spiritual thing. Sometimes we keep running. And let's say we're sprinting, but we keep running into a wall. Get back up, just keep sprinting, running into the wall. As fast as you can, run into the wall. And you're like, what's happening? And he's like, there's a door right there. Go through the door. But many times we bump our heads or we feel like God is not allowing things to happen in our lives because he's trying to teach you something so you can get past that place. Amen? God is a teacher. God doesn't just automatically take you from the goal to, you know, if you ever play Monopoly, he doesn't just take you to the biggest place and the best place right away. He's going to teach you along the way. Amen? Say, let him teach me. Let him teach you. But it says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Somebody say vision. Saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram, in verse 2, it said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. So God reaffirms the vision that he gives to Abram, even though he doesn't see it. Even though he doesn't see it. Somebody say, I don't see it. Even though we don't see things at times, God is still reassuring us of his word. That it was given to us. So Abram is at this place. Well, now his name was Abraham. He's at this place where he's been going to the promised land, but it doesn't seem like it's happening. So when you get to a place like that in your vision, one thing you must do is stick to the vision. All right? Some people got really quiet. When you don't see what is supposed to, in your mind, be taking place. See, God gives us a vision, but he never gives us a timetable. He never says, your vision is going to happen in 20 minutes. Right? Just imagine that. Have you ever been on a road trip, and if you didn't have a timetable, it'll be tough. But remember, God is outside of time. Time has to go through God. God is outside of time. So he's not always concerned with how you are concerned, but the Bible does say that he is not slack in keeping his promises towards us. That means he's not going to forget you. And God has an appointed time, and we have to make sure we stick with the vision. Amen? Now, I did have in here, sometimes we need to update the vision, but your updating of the vision does not mean changing the vision that God has given you. Okay? We should not change what God has given to us because of our circumstances. We might have to do it slightly differently, but we still keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? We also must live the vision. When God gives you this vision, you have to live like it can happen tomorrow. Many people be like, hey, Keith, hey, we got this opportunity for you to come do this. And they're like, go ahead and pray about it. And, you know, just tell us what. I'm like, I've been praying about it. I know this is what God has sent me for. This is what I've been waiting for. Right? So you are actually, when you're living that vision, you're almost anticipating something to happen. So you put yourself in a place where, okay, if something happens, I'm ready to go with this. I'm ready to go. You must be prepared. Okay? How do you prepare yourself for your vision? You start, okay, if God tells you you're going to speak to many people, you start learning how to speak better. You start watching other people that are already speaking to other people and learning from them, not copying them, right? I don't get up here and be like, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm not T.D. Jakes, right? It's not my job, okay? But I can watch and learn, wow, that was pretty nice how he tied those two things together. Even while we went to a church in Florida, I was like, oh, that's interesting. He gave them notes to, you know, to the whole church had notes of his sermon. I was like, wow, that's crazy. So everybody writes down, okay, boom, boom, so that they can remember. I think sometimes there's different things that you do to impact different people. But you learn from it. Live the vision. Tell your neighbor to live the vision. And the way that you live the vision is stay connected with God. Through it all, I'm still saying, God, show me what you want me to learn. God, I still, even if I feel like I'm David and I'm moving up in ranks, right? Because you remember David was a shepherd boy when he got told he was a king. That was the vision. But he was running for his life before that even could happen. But God said, listen, stay the course. And even when David messed up, he got back to a place and was like, okay, God, I remember when I was just playing music to you when I was in the field, protecting the sheep. I need to get back to that place. Your relationship with God is the thing that's going to help your vision that God gives you stay the course. It's going to help you stay the course for the vision that God has given you. I'm sorry. And the last thing I want to say is your vision will guide you even when what you see outside and with your real eyes doesn't match it. Your vision will guide you when your eyes don't even see what your vision says. That's faith. Because faith, like I said, is when you step out and there's nothing there. You, even when you're around turmoil, just trust that God has a reason for you there. Right? It's so amazing, like when you think of little animals and different things that are in this world, which we kind of bypass daily. We was in Florida, and there was a guy that he was exterminated. And he started talking, and he started really talking. And he was like, you know, if we got rid of all these bugs in the world, we would be dead in 6 months. And he was like, because each one of these bugs, they do something to keep us all alive. And we don't even think of that, right? We just think of spiders and mosquitoes and why are they even here? But God made a specific reason for each and every one of them. So even when you're in the middle of a quote-unquote storm, know that God is working on your behalf. And he's teaching you something so that when you walk in his vision and when you start really living the vision, you understand that was nothing but God. We talk about T.D. Jakes. The people don't realize that he was homeless for a long time because he started a church and didn't have any money. We love those kind of stories, but you might not want to be in his shoes, right? There's another guy, Tyler Perry, the actor. He was a homeless man as well, right? Homeless, trying to figure out how to get his scripts into the right people's hands. And now he has one of the biggest self-owned studios. But it took time. Somebody say time. But don't let time rob you of the vision that God has given you. Don't allow, oh, God, it's taking time. I don't know if it's, just continue to trust God. Say, God, get to a place where you know, where you can hear God's vision for your life. Have faith and walk it out and stick to it. Amen. God, I just thank you for your word. I pray to God that your word would speak to us. So God, I even pray that you speak to each one of us individually. There's different things that you've created us for. So God, we pray to God that we be obedient to you. Dear God, that we submit our lives to you, dear God, and allow you to direct us and allow us to follow you despite what things may look like. God, we trust our lives. We trust our lives and put it in your hands. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen, amen. I know that was impactful to me. Was it impactful to you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well,
we thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.